Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 630 Chad.
Number two of Oilers Now, Bob Stauffer, Rogers Place, the Ice District, the Edmonton Oilers, the Ottawa Senators on the ice Saturday. Connor McDavid, along with Tyson Barrie, Derek Ryan, back on the ice today. The Oilers had 15 skaters. Kyle Turris entering COVID protocol today. Oilers Now is brought to you by Digitex. Digitex.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. You can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line 780-496-0063. Get the new floors you've always wanted with Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street, 111th Avenue, open Monday to Saturday. We'll tell you that Japanese Village is open to serve you at any one of their five Edmonton and area locations featuring Alberta's own Brent Lake Wagyu. Visit jvedmonton.ca. Don and his staff at Japanese Village will take care of you. As we head off to the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline, the River Cree Resort and Casino open 24/7. Excitement, bet on it. And we are pleased to welcome back to the show provincial affairs columnist and cult of hockey writer at the Edmonton Journal. He was the COVID guy for at least a year for the Journal, still writing about it a lot. We welcome back to the show David Staples. David, how are you?
I'm great, Bob. How are you doing?
Not bad. Did you ever see the Sky documentary on the origin of COVID? It's about about 50 minutes, Sky Australia, so that's immediately going to get some of the left-wingers out there rankled because it tends to be a center-right network. But did you see the documentary about the origin of the COVID-19?
I did not see that one, although I've been following closely all of the discussion about the origin of COVID and, you know, the early reports that came about more than a year ago now. You know, the initial word was that this came out of a wild food market in Wuhan, and now there's increasing evidence that points towards perhaps it was leaked out of a lab in Wuhan, which is right near that market. So well aware of the debate that's going on, and it's still very much a live debate.
Oh, there's no question. And they tied into the fact that the World Military Games were held in Wuhan in November, and that there were over 100 countries that sent representatives there. It's really interesting stuff. And we do this with you, David, because this is part of what you cover. We'll get to the hockey stuff in a second, but it's tied into the Edmonton Oilers because now we have the Omicron variant, and the Oilers are now down to Leon Draisaitl, Zach Hyman, Colton Sevier, Chris Russell, Mike Smith, and Mikko Koskinen. Those are the players, to my knowledge, that have not been in the protocol. McDavid, Tyson Barrie, and Derek Ryan back on the ice today. And Turris testing positive today. Turris joining Benson, Perlini, Fogel, Yamamoto, Holloway, Bouchard, Kuku, and Konovalov in the protocol. Of course, several of those players could theoretically come out of the protocol in time for Saturday's game. So it's affected every aspect of the world. And, you know, I know you know the numbers on Omicron. Right now, we've got record-setting positive cases, people doing home. Now, when they do these tests, are the home cases counted as is, or do they need to be followed up by an actual PCR test that's done at a clinic or that sort of thing?
To be counted in the province's official number of active COVID cases, they need to be confirmed by a PCR test. So, Bob, right now that number, last time I checked, was 58,000 people confirmed cases of COVID, active cases right now in Alberta, which is more than double what we saw in any previous wave. And Dr. Hinshaw has estimated that the actual number of people with COVID right now in Alberta is much as 10 times the official count. So we might be looking at right now about 500,000, 600,000 people with COVID in Alberta right now, which is an alarming number. But there's some interesting data that came out last night. Premier Kenney was on Facebook having a chat with people, and he released some Alberta Health Services data, because people have been wondering, okay, how bad is Omicron in terms of making people really sick? And even though we might have more than 500,000 people with Omicron, the number of people in our hospitals right now because of Omicron is 66. And the number of people in ICU because of Omicron is 11. So we have this highly contagious, highly, highly contagious variant of COVID. But it is not sending, it isn't sending people to the hospital and ICU in huge numbers. Delta still seems to be having a big impact in terms of sending people to our hospitals and ICU, which the numbers overall for those are higher. But it doesn't look like Omicron's the major culprit.
All right. Well, we'll continue to monitor that. I know I put out the numbers on the ICU people over the course of the last week or so, and people said, no, you're, I've actually got texts from people saying I'm presenting too positive of an analysis on it, which makes me wonder. I'm kind of surprised by that, because as of, I don't know if I brought the index card here today, David. Oh, look at that. I got it. In Edmonton yesterday, there were 30 people in ICU total with COVID. And that's the Edmonton Health Zone, which obviously supports, smaller communities just outside of Edmonton, as well as people flying in from northern Alberta that don't have the services to deal with it as well. So keep that in mind. So, but apparently I've been too positive, because I mentioned that there's only like 30 people in ICU currently in Edmonton hospitals. We'll just, cherry pick a number here, as opposed to November the 1st when there were 75 people in ICU dealing with COVID. Take it for what it's worth. You can interpret those numbers any way you want. All right. Which brings us to Evander Kane, because suspended 21 games for forging vaccination cards. Now in a little bit of trouble again for crossing the borders, and this resulted in the termination of his contract. Brendan Escott's back in the 630 Chet Studios, David. Brendan, what was the unofficial split on our poll that you did with the Oilers Now account?
Yeah, 61% of Oilers fans in favor of bringing Kane in on a deal around $1 million for a year. I saw another national outlet do one, and it was literally the opposite of that, so that was a very interesting contrast.
Where's your headspace at with this, David?
Well, I think Holland is navigating this correctly. I think his job as the GM, this is obviously a very attractive hockey player, in terms of his on-ice performance, who has a number of off-ice issues around COVID and around allegations of domestic abuse. And he's got to investigate all of this, due diligence, talk to his team, as has been now reported that he's done, talk to the leadership on his team and make a decision. I think with the fans, some are upset about the COVID stuff. Others are very upset, not surprisingly, understandably, about the domestic violence abuse allegations. So these are serious allegations, and my personal thing is they deserve a serious response, which is, if there's something there, the police should investigate this, and the court should take over that. And I don't know the status of that, but that's the realm where that should be investigated and handled. In terms of the Oilers, they should be aware of that kind of thing, cognizant of what's going on, but I don't think it should disqualify a player, any individual who hasn't been convicted. So that's where I'm at with it, that I'm okay with them looking into this player. I understand, though, if other fans are turned off by that and don't want to be a fan anymore, I respect that position.
Yeah. I don't think it's lost in anybody. You saw the Holland press conference yesterday. Don't know if you heard his availability in our show, but he's not prepared to move assets for short-term rentals, and in this situation, he wouldn't have to move one.
In terms of a hockey move, it's just in terms of your on-ice team being able to win games, if Kane can fit in on the team, and that's what they have to ascertain, and just in terms of fitting into the dressing room, getting along with everybody else, I mean, his on-ice play is strong. He's just he would be one of the best wingers on the Oilers right away with Hyman and Puljujärvi. He would really add to the team, and it's it's like a no-brainer category if he's willing to come here in terms of the hockey stuff, because he can help your team win on the ice. You don't give up anything. You solve, you know, a major problem. It might enable you to move Nugent Hopkins to third line center. So in terms of a fit on the Oilers trying to win this year, I mean, this could be a really key move in that regard. So I can see why there's high interest from the Oilers in Evander Kane, the hockey player.
From 2018-19 to 2021, he was, you know, tied for 22nd in the NHL in goal scoring with 78 goals. This guy's a legit top six guy. I'm going to assert to you right now that I believe the Oilers are not physical enough with their forward groups. If I were king for a day, I would implore the pro scouting team and the analytics team to work together to find some. And sometimes people think that analytics guys have no use for toughness. I'm here. You're going to have to bridge that gap. The Oilers have to change the complexion of their bottom six by the start of next season. They need to add a little bit more bite. They're too easy to play against. David, when Edmonton went into St. Louis, they didn't have Darnell Nurse and they didn't have Zach Cassian, and the Blues leaned on Edmonton. When the Oilers played the Islanders, they didn't have Cassian. Nurse was back, and Ross Johnson's running around face-washing Leon Draisaitl. Now, Leon stood up for himself, and Leon threw some big got Tarasenko in the game against St. Louis. He caught Ryan Reeves in the game against the New York Rangers. But they need some more size in their bottom six so they're capable of doing that as well. Getting Cassian back will help. And that would be another one of the benefits with Kane, is Kane's a big physical guy. Like, you know what? Hyman coming back from a shoulder injury, David, he's not a timid player as well. But I think the Oilers are going to need to build a little bit. You got to be able to skate. But you can't be timid. You know what I'm saying with the forward group?
He checks a lot of boxes, Bob Kane does, as a forward, and ruggedness is one, and I agree that the Oilers need more of that. They need, you know, why have role players who don't really, you know, you need some role players who fill that role as well, and that's why I was okay with the Warren Fogle trade. I mean, he's a big, rugged winger, and he helps the Edmonton Oilers, and he you know, might be able to step in now and then in the top six. He helps in the bottom six, and in terms of analytics, some analytics measure how many times a player goes hard to the net and makes hard plays at the net. I mean, we've been measuring that at the Cult of Hockey for years now. How many screens, you know, how many battles won in front of the net that help the team get grade A shots and goals. And I know that in Fogle, you've talked about this in the past, the Oilers did a dive into his play, and they saw that he's a guy who constantly drives the net. We see that with Hyman as well, and the Oilers need that kind of thing. So, you know, earlier in the year, there was talk about Bastian, who was in Seattle at the time, a big, tough guy.
Well, I was talking about Bastian.
Yeah, and it's too bad he got through the Oilers' fingers. I guess maybe Seattle didn't want him.
I don't know if Edmonton ever, just so you know, I was recommending making a small trade, like trading a C-grade prospect or a fifth or sixth rounder. I don't even know if Edmonton put a claim in. I do know that Bastian's played pretty well since he's gone back to New Jersey.
Yeah. So the Oilers can use more players like that, you know, one or two more in the forward group. We've all seen Markus Niemelainen, who was not a great puck mover, but we've all seen the impact he had in a short time on defense, because it was like, wow, here's a defenseman who's just lighting up the opposition with big hits. Darnell Nurse was doing that earlier in the year. Nurse can't play like that and play as many minutes as he's playing. He can't throw eight hits a game as he did a few times early in the year. He will hurt himself playing, you know, that many minutes and throwing, being that physical. But you do need a bottom pairing guy or two that are that physical. So there might be a role for Niemelainen on the team when he gets back. Because
he's been sent down. He got sent down.
Oh, he got sent down, eh?
Yeah, he's gone down, back down to the farm. So there you have it. All right, one final one for you. And Mike Kelly put a bunch of analytics numbers out. You know, Oilers 8th in expected goals, 13th in expected goals against. Now, this was before the game against Maple Leafs. So this is when Edmonton was 2-8-2. They're 2-9-2. But the numbers would suggest that the Oilers have actually played better than the 2-9-2 record wouldn't it indicate. We have fans that want to fire Dave Tippett. Like, it's that simple. I get texts every day. I have fans saying, I don't care if they've had 7 coaches in 10 years, make it 8. You know, he's not, like, we have people that think that way. Give me your assessment on where we're at here.
Well, with Tippett, you know, my theory on both politicians and head coaches and GMs is they have nine lives. And they, you know, there's nine mistakes they can make that stick in people's memories. And once they've done that, they're kind of done. Once the majority of people are there with the coach. And I don't see Tippett being there. You know, there's been some mistakes that he's made. But, you know, the point that Holland makes isn't crazy talk. He says, you know, Tippett took over the team when it was in the doldrums. It's improved significantly under him. It was essentially a playoff team 2 years running. In his first 2 years here, first couple months of the season, it's the best team in the NHL, and it's been a horrible 5-6 weeks. And so is that when you fire the coach? I don't see him being actually that close. Like if they lost five more in a row, ten in a row more, like if they dip below real 500 and keep losing, they're trending badly, it doesn't turn around. But it's been a weird time for the Oilers these last 5 weeks as well, with COVID and with injuries. And I don't see firing either Tippett. Some people want to fire Holland. I don't see either of those things. I liked Holland's approach yesterday of being patient and working through the problems on the team within the group of players that they've assembled. That was a pretty special group for the first 2 months. They played really well on the PK and the power play. I think they can return to much higher levels of performance on both of those things. The key is goaltending. Can Mike Smith come back and be anything close to what he was last year? If he can, solves a major problem for the Oilers. If they don't, then they're going to have to make a trade there.
All right. Well, just updating, just on winning percentage alone, let's use that as a number.
Yeah.
The Oilers were 25th in the league in 18-19. Okay. They moved up to 12th last year, or sorry, 12th in 19-20. They moved up to 11th last year, and they are currently 18th in winning percentage. Okay? And that's been the result of the 2-9-2 run. Of course, they were first on December the 2nd. So, and this has been a weird year where there's three or four teams like Arizona and Montreal. Well, even Seattle, and they've lost a game against Seattle. Edmonton's 2-0 against Arizona. They haven't played the Canadiens yet. They haven't played the Senators yet. And Seattle is at 350. So there's four teams at 350 and below. And the Oilers have played a grand total of five games against those teams, and they've gone 4-1. But they're going to get the Canadiens and the Senators a bunch here over the next little while. So that'll be interesting to watch as well. David, where can people follow your stuff?
Just on Twitter, at D Staples.
Okay, and you have both a political account and a hockey account?
Yes, because people don't always like to mix the two, and I can understand why. The politics stuff is at David Staples Yegg.
All right, and give me the update. Where are we at in terms of blocking? How many people have you blocked on the Cult of Hockey account? How many have you blocked on the news side?
You know, Bob, I've blocked many, but I've taken a different stance as of recently, just putting a little less time into Twitter. It's kind of it can be a very toxic and time-consuming place. So I tweet my things, and I'm much less likely to engage in responses and in arguments that might lead me to blocking. I just kind of have my say and move on.
Well, you know, you can put out purely factual information and have people come and hate at you. That's just the beauty of the situation right now with Twitter. I don't do Instagram. What's the other ones? I don't even know how to do those other
ones. Well, there's
Snapchat,
Facebook, and there's all kinds of things.
You know what? 90% of the sort of, what do I call that? Conversations or communications that you have with people, I find on Twitter, 90% of it tends to be people are pretty decent. So that's always a good thing. You can't overreact too much to the negative heat. Great stuff, David. Thanks for your time, my man.
Thanks, Bob.
It is 1:23 at Edmonton. We'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Oilers Now.
Hi, this is Connor McDavid from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Text us at 780-496-0063. We might squeeze in some Connor McDavid comments back on the ice today at about, 1:50 or so after we do John Shannon for Legacy Heating and Cooling. 1:26 in Edmonton. Let's go to some text on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Herm, an old school minor pro goaltender, says, Bob Tippett is not the problem. You need the horses. Until the Oilers come to realize that this organization needs some character, some players who control the ice for their skilled players, team chemistry will be built from there to move on to the elite of the NHL. All right. Terry says, I have an opinion why they aren't bringing Skinner here now. Koskinen and Smith have not been on COVID protocol yet. They just want to keep Skinner away from the team in case Smith and Koski go down. Then he'd be called up to be in that situation. Well, he wasn't eligible to be on the taxi squad, Skinner. And he was the easiest move. Some might say that if you send Koskinen down, he's lost. It's done. It's over. And instead, you got to get Smith up and running and go Smith and Koskinen and lessen the workload for Koskinen, and then you get a better Mikko. We'll have to wait and see in that regard. Again, keep texting us at 780-496-0063. 127 in Edmonton into the Oilers Now Injury Report, brought to you by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. The heavy hitters of injury law. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. So, Kyle Turris goes into COVID protocol today, joining Tyler Benson, Brendan Perlini, Warren Fogle, Kyler Yamamoto, Dylan Holloway, who's technically out, Evan Bouchard, Slater Cuckoo, and Ilya Konovalov. Now, Benson, Perlini, Fogle, Yamamoto, Bouchard, and Cuckoo all could, in theory, be eligible for Saturday's game against the Ottawa Senators. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins out with a lower body issue. Probably still a couple more weeks here. Was not on the ice today. Connor McDavid, Derek Ryan, and Tyson Barry rejoined the group on the ice. So that's a look at the Oilers injury report. For James H. Brown Injury Lawyers, the heavy hitters of injury law, when accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. It's this simple. James H. Brown. They are the best. We will go to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell and come back with our NHL insider John Shannon when we return in Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.